Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
Isn't it great that no matter what, His love endures forever? And that is certainly something to be thankful for. I want you to take out your Bibles, if you would, and your sermon notes. If you're online with us, you can find your sermon notes on our webpage. And today we are in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. We've been in Thessalonians a little bit here lately, but we're going to spend some time in five verses here today. I don't know about you, but for as long as I can remember, there have always been people complaining about how commercialized Christmas is. And I don't know that we can actually disagree with that. I'm pretty sure I've preached at least one or two sermons at some point along the way about how commercialized Christmas is at Christmas season. And so that's just kind of how it seems to be. And if you're like Barb and I, you're starting to ramp up with Christmas and starting to get a little bit busy with that. And that just happens with this time of year. But we're going to look at simple Christmas for the next 5 weeks, or for 5 weeks anyway, focusing on what matters the most. But even in the movie Miracle on 34th Street, I know you've never heard of that. Anybody not heard of that movie? And it first came out about 78 years ago. So I was not even around to watch it when it first came out. And even there, when there was a character who complains to people about how commercialized Christmas is in 1934 even. So this is not a new phenomena that we deal with. And we just get caught up in all the aspects of Christmas. And before we know it, we're just stressed to the nth degree. And as long as Christmas has been celebrated, there are people who are going to struggle and going to be distressed and going to be depressed as they get to Christmas Sunday. And I don't know that it has to be that way or that it should be that way. And so we're going to try to get past some of that this Christmas season, starting with today. I'm beginning this series. It's really a five-part series, but it's going to go one Sunday past Christmas. So there are six more Sundays counting today in this year, and we're going to spend five of those six thinking about a simple Christmas, and then on Christmas Sunday, we're just going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ together on Sunday morning. But for now, we want to look at what maybe we can figure out to be a Christ-centered, simple Christmas as we move together through this time. And so I'm going to hopefully help us grow closer to Jesus Christ, grow closer to one another, and focus on those things that really count the most. And today, specifically, we're going to be talking about connecting with our family and friends. Connecting with family and friends. There is a line in this movie, Miracle on 34th Street, and it's this, that Christmas isn't just a day, it's a frame of mind. And I like that statement. Christmas isn't just a day, it's a frame of mind. And so today, what I want us to do is reframe our thinking, reframe our minds to think about those people that are important to us and how we can communicate that to them, rather just in some the gifts that we're going to give, but to think about what we're going to do that's going to make a difference. This passage in Scripture of 1 Thessalonians talks a lot about that. I know it doesn't sound Christmassy, but it really is. It's that frame of mind reference. It's that part that will help us rethink how we think about Christmas and how we move forward. And it's written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Thessalonica, and he loves these people deeply. And in fact, he's going to say, it's my desire to get back to you. He wants to come back and share with them. These are people that were his people. These are people where he said, I'm at home with these folks. These are people who love the Lord, who love Jesus Christ, who love the gospel, and I want to be there with you. And so he's trying to get there. He's trying to work that out. And as we look at this, in this passage of scripture, I want you to follow along with me, starting at verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He said, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. Verse 12 says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. And so that's our passage of scripture for today. And we're going to look at three lists that are really essential if we're going to have a new frame of reference for our Christmas. So I'm going to talk to you about making Christmas lists. We saw a young lady writing a letter, and so don't be surprised if I'm not going to give you some homework that involves a little bit of writing this week. So three lists we need to make this Christmas for our family and friends. Three lists. You say, well, I have my Christmas list. Then you're not done yet. Three lists for our family and friends. And most likely, what your list is not going to be one of the three that I'm going to give you. So you're going to write three more lists and then you're going to act on them prayerfully. That's what we want to do. So the first list is make a list of the people you love and appreciate the most. Just make a list of all those folks. So you're going to be thinking about, if you're married, your spouse, your wife or your husband. You're going to most likely want to include your children. And if not your children, surely your grandchildren. And then you go back to your children and say, thank you for giving me my grandchildren. And then your parents, if they're still alive. Your brothers and sisters, your friends, church members, fellow church members, all of those and on and on. And you can decide where that ends, but start making a list of the people that you truly appreciate and love, that make a difference in your life and that you want to acknowledge this Christmas. And so just bear with me. Just start making that list. And right now you're probably thinking of names, and that's okay. But I really want you to go home, pray about it, and then make your list there where you can write it down. And sometime during this week, I want you to take the time to do that. I want you to take the time to make that list. And then before the Christmas season is over, before the holiday season is over, however you want to say that, I want you to do two things with that list. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to thank God for bringing these people into your life. One by one, you thank God for them, for bringing them into your life personally. Because they wouldn't be in your list. You're not going to put them on your list if they're not really a part of your life. And so these are people that are important, that you appreciate and you love. And so thank God for them. That's what we see Paul doing. And then the second thing, I want you to tell them how much they mean to you. So by the time we get to Christmas, or by the end of this year, I pray and hope that you will tell them they're on this list. Tell them how much they mean to you. Let them know that. And just don't assume, well, they know. Just make sure that they know, and that means you tell them. Listen again to verse 9. Paul says, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? He says, I am thanking God for you. And so Paul is is expressing his gratitude to God, but he's also expressing his appreciation to these people in Thessalonica. He said, you make a difference in my life. And so I'm telling God, thank you for bringing them into my life. Thank you for these people in Thessalonica. And I want them to know that. So I'm writing them a letter to tell them right now. And so that's what I'm asking you to do. Find some time to thank God for each one of them. And you may take several days to do that. You may pray for a while and then come back and pray for some more later on. But before the end of the month, before the end of December, make sure that you've expressed to God your gratitude for bringing these people into your life, and then that you let them know how much they mean to you. You tell them that. So you're going to thank them. You're going to say, I appreciate you. You fill my life with joy. I love that in verse 9. He says, all the joy we have in the presence of God. You know, it is, as I was reading this morning in Scripture, there is no way that we as Christians can say we don't have joy when we're in God's presence. You know what's going to happen in heaven? We're going to be joyful in heaven. Bible says when we're in God's presence, there is joy in his presence. And so I was reading this morning in Psalm chapter 16, there's David saying that when I'm in the presence of God, there is joy. There's joy in God's presence. And so don't be surprised that when you start to appreciate these people, you're going to find joy that because of these people, because of God's joy, and because of the joy he gives to you, you're going to say, because you're in my life to this person that you're expressing your appreciation and love to, you're going to say, you bring joy to me. When I think about you, when I'm around you, when we're doing things together, when we are on the phone together, whatever it may be, you give me joy. And so let them know how much joy they give you. And it seems like such a simple thing to do, doesn't it? To write a name on a list and then say, God, thank you for bringing him into my life. Thank you for the joy that I have. And then telling them. But I dare say, as simple as it sounds, this is one of the hardest things we ever do. This is one of the things we very seldom do. We don't get around to this very often. And I'm not an overly emotional and sentimental person, but it seems like the closer I get to someone, sometimes the harder it is to tell them how much they mean to me. And I doubt that I'm the only one. Men especially have a hard time with this. I could say real men have a hard time with that. But I think just guys in general. This is tough for us to do. I think, ladies, you have this over on us in spades. But we have a hard time with that. But keep in mind that there's no way people will know how you feel about them unless you make an effort to tell them, to express that to them. Last week I told you an old preacher's joke, and I'm going to tell you another old preacher's joke today. Because I'm one of those old preachers, so it just seems right. But there was a husband and wife couple that came to their pastor to see him in his office. They said, we need to talk to you. We have a problem. And it really was the wife who was doing all the talking. She was the one to make sure her husband was there. Husband didn't look at all happy about being there. But they're sitting in front of the pastor in his office. And he says, well, what can I do with you? And the lady said to the pastor, I'm so frustrated. I'm so upset. My husband never tells me he loves me. Pastor said, he never tells you he loves you? He said, no. He hasn't told me he loves me in decades. And he looked at the husband. He said, is that true? You don't tell your wife that you love her? You haven't done it for decades? And he looked at the pastor and he said, I told her I loved her on the day we got married. And if it ever changes, I'll tell her. That's not good enough. That doesn't work for most people. They're not going to figure this thing out. We need to tell them. And if you're an adult, chances are it's been a long time since maybe you said you appreciate or you love some of these people that you're going to put on your list. You know that they're important to you. You just haven't told them that. You know that they're important to you, but you just haven't told God how much you appreciate them being in your life because of him. And so we need to do that. If you are at a certain age, you've been married for more than a decade, it might be that you haven't really expressed to your spouse how much you love them and how important they are to you. We need to take that time. We need to express that appreciation. Just tell them how you feel. And if you're not sure what to say, you can appropriate a few of Paul's words here. Just circle verse 9 or highlight it and then take some words out of there. And so you might tell them, if you're not sure what to say, how can I ever thank God enough for all the joy you've brought to my life? Who can't do that to somebody that they love and somebody who brings joy to their life? And so you tell God how much you appreciate what he's done for you in bringing them into your life, and you spend time telling them about that. Second list I want you to make. The second list is to make a list of intangible gifts. I'll give you a minute to write that down. Intangible gifts that you can give to each person on your first list. Don't throw away that first list. Don't say, hey, I went through it. I talked to God about it. I talked to them about it. Tearing it up. I'm done. I put it in the shredder. Hang on to it. Because now I want you to give them an intangible gift. What's an intangible gift? It doesn't come on Amazon. I'll give you a hint. It doesn't come from Walmart or Costco. It is something that you can't buy and you can't put in a box and wrap it up nice and pretty. You can't mail it to them. You got to think in terms of something that's intangible. Verse 10, that's what Paul is doing for these Christians in Thessalonica. He's saying, night and day, we pray more earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. He's saying, I'm not sending you a new Bible. I'm not sending you a gift. Don't watch for the Amazon truck to come up your street. You're not going to find it there, but I'm praying that we will be able to give to you that intangible gift that you need. And for all of us and the people that are on your list, those intangible gifts will be different. They will not be the same for everyone that's on your list. And so as you think about the people that you love, I want you to take some time to think about something that you can give to them, something you can give each one personally, I would say, because everybody on your list doesn't need the same intangible gift. So what can you personally do for them that is going to make a difference in their life? So I'm not talking about that you're going to give action figures or you're going to give you're not going to give ties and you're not going to give, pot holders. Those aren't the kinds of gifts that we're talking about now. Those are fine to give, but those are not intangible gifts. And so we're talking about something different, something non-material, something tangible. So you don't have to worry about whether you have wrapping paper. It's something that is non-material that you're going to give. There's something that you will be able to give to each person on your first list. Everyone in your list, you will be able to figure it out. You talk to God about it. You pray about this person. you think about what they mean to you and how important they are. And God, I believe, will give you what that intangible gift or those gifts might be. And then you make sure that you give them. And so there's something that you can give them. It may be a word of encouragement. It may be a smile. It may be a hug. It may be a pep talk. It may be an apology. It might be a compliment. And you could just go on and on with types of things that it could be, something that's going to make a difference in their lives. And then you want to ask yourself a few questions as you're trying to figure it out. Ask yourself, what does this person need most? And it's not something that's tangible. So what do they need right now? Do they need encouragement? Are they depressed? Are they discouraged? Do they need that building up? Do they need somebody who's just going to say, I'm in your corner? And so you begin to ask that. And then you ask yourself, what can I say to them? Is that intangible gift something I can verbally say to them? I can go to where they're at and talk to them. I can write them a letter like Paul is doing. I can get them on a FaceTime call. Something. What can I say to them? What can I do for them? And maybe how can I give them a lift? How can I lift them up and encourage them that way? And so you begin to do that. I love jokes. I know that you would never know that, but I love those kinds of things. But I also love some people that love them too. I have some really good friends and people in my sphere of my circle of people that are really close to me. People that are on my list and will be on my list again this year. But I have, for example, a couple of really close friends. I have a brother-in-law, and we don't talk hardly ever when we're not telling jokes. In fact, sometimes I'll talk to somebody, one of my pastor friends or someone, and he'll say, you know what, I heard this joke and I've been waiting to talk to you so I could tell it to you. And we start with a joke and we spend a lot of time laughing. Those are intangible things, but it builds both of us up. Whoever is telling the joke and the one who's receiving it, we laugh together and we feel built up, and it's a wonderful gift and it's a wonderful time. And so you begin to think about that. There's another story. This is a story about a missionary who was working in Africa. She was a school teacher. She was teaching these kids in this village. And they were all very poor. So she was telling him about Christmas. It was Christmas time. And so she started talking about Christmas. And not only she was telling the story of Christ, but she also was telling what we do. Some of our decadence and some of our overspending, but no, what she said was we give gifts at Christmas to one another. And so after she had had that lesson and they were talking about them, one of the little boys in her class came to her one day and he had this beautiful shell that he gave to her. And he said, this is my gift to you for Christmas. And she looked at it and she said, oh, that's so beautiful. She said, where did you get it? And he said, I went to the beach and picked that out just for you. I picked this one out just for you. And the teacher knew, this missionary knew, that the beach was miles and miles away. And so she looked at this little boy in her class who'd just given her this beautiful shell. And she said, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have walked so far to the beach just to bring me the shell. And he said, no. He said, the walk was part of the gift. The walk was part of the gift. Even things that are tangible, there are parts of it that can still be intangible. So begin to think about and pray about, what are those intangible gifts that I can give to these people who are on my list? How am I going to express that in ways that they need to hear? Third list I want you to make. After you've written that list of people who are close to you that you love and appreciate, and you've talked to God about them, and you've told them that in one form or another. You have now made a list of intangible gifts, and you're ready to give them to them. I want you to make a third list. I want you to make a wish list for each person on your first list, and then share it with them and with God. So you take each of those names now, and you say, God, this is what I wish for them. Another way of saying a wish list is really a prayer list. I'm going to ask you to make a prayer list with these names. They're now someone you're going to pray for. So God, how do I pray for them? What do they need? How can I do that? And you begin to pray on their behalf. In verses 12 and 13, Paul said, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Paul is saying to these people he loves, what I want for you, dear friends, is that you grow in love, that you grow in strength, that you grow in holiness. He's saying, I'm trying to break this out for you of things that I am praying for you about. I'm not just saying, God bless them. I'm taking time to think about who you are and what God is doing in your life. And I'm praying about your holiness. I'm praying about your sanctification. I'm praying about all those things that are important. And he said, I want to give you, dear friends, is that love and strength and holiness. And so think about those people, and what do you want for each one? What's your prayer for them? How do you want to see God work in their lives? How do you want to see them serving the Lord? How do you want to see them parenting? How do you want to see them being a good husband or a good wife? How do you want this? All of those things. And you begin to pray about those things. You put that on that prayer list, and you say, this is what I am praying for you. There's a story about a teenage boy who was auditioning to be a part of a community theater production. And he was really excited about it, and he wanted a specific part, and he was practicing and practicing and practicing so that he would have a great audition when it was time for this. And his mother was really skeptical a little bit. She knew that some of the people that were auditioning for those same parts were people who had been in professional productions before, and her son had never been in a professional production. And so she understood that the chances of him getting it seemed rather slim. And so she was trying to be the good mother, and she'd say, oh, sweetheart, you know, really, this is a wonderful opportunity, but there are a lot of parts. There are a lot of people trying out for those parts, and some of them have been in professional productions. And so even if you don't get that part, there's a lot of parts that you can be. And so she just kept doing that over and over and over. And finally, in frustration, he looked at his mother and he said, Mom, I wish you would just say, I hope you get the part. Can't you just tell me, you hope I get it? Sometimes that's all someone needs to hear from us. I can't fix everything for you, but I know the God who can. But however he's going to fix it, or whatever he's going to do in your life, I hope, I pray, my wish for you right now is that you would experience what God has for you. And you tell that to them. You're going to share it with them, and you're going to share it with God. Because you're praying to God about it, but you're sharing with them so they understand where your heart is for them. But be careful how you share it. Don't say, I wish you'd get up off the couch and stop being such a bum. That may be what they need to do, but that's maybe not the best way to phrase that to them. So what do you do in that case? What do you do with somebody who you're saying, if I tell them what I'm really praying for them about, they might get upset. They may be mad. They may not think it's my place to tell them that. Better way to say that would be for that guy that needs to get up off the couch and stop being a bum. You know, I'm praying for you. My prayer is that you will discover God's mission for your life and begin to fulfill it. I want you to know God's mission in your life. I want you to know what it is, and I want you to fulfill it, because that's where joy is at. You're going to be in God's presence. You're going to be walking with Him. And I want you to know that joy. And so that's what I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that you will discover that, and that you start to live in that joy that only God can give to you. You know that the greatest gift that you can give to anyone is to pray for them. The greatest gift that you can give to any person is to pray for them. And let them know that you're praying for them. Let them know that. Why? Why is that the greatest gift? Because of two things, for two reasons. One is that when you pray for someone, it just works. It works. God hears, God answers, God moves. And when you start praying for someone, you start praying for somebody who is discouraged, somebody who's beaten down, somebody who is just overwhelmed with life, who's overwhelmed with parenting, whatever it may be right now, you pray for them and God starts to work in their life. And if you told them what you're praying about and they start to see what God's doing, they'll put two and two together and they'll say, wow, this is great. So the first reason you pray is just because it works. God hears, God answers, that's His promise. And we don't have to tell Him how to answer, we just trust Him to answer the right way. Because He loves this person that you're praying for. He already loves them and appreciates them. And He does want them to grow in holiness and their sanctification. And so as you pray for them, He's going to be working in their life and answering. The second reason that we pray for people is that you pray for them and when you do that, people find strength in knowing that others are praying for them. It encourages them. It strengthens them. There's a pastor down in Tucson, and I have never met him personally. One of our Southern Baptist pastors. He sends me a card, a prayer card, or he gives me a phone call at least two or three times a year because I'm on his prayer list. And he prays for me. And he tells me he's praying for me. And when I get that call or I get that card, I think, wow, that's cool. When I was a chaplain in the Navy, because that is a part of it comes under our North American Mission Board. I was also part of the North American Mission Board. And at least during those days, we had the Women's Missionary Union in our churches, and they put out a prayer calendar in their magazine every year. And at least one time when I was serving in those 20 years, my name was on there, because they can't put everybody's name all the time, but they would put like about 20 or 25 names or so every month or every quarter whenever that magazine came out. And then I would start getting cards from people I never heard of, from places I didn't know where they were, and they'd say, I pray for you today. I'm praying for your work. I'm praying for what you're doing. And that was encouraging to me. It strengthened me. And so when you pray for these people on your list, you may be the only person who's ever told them, I'm praying for you, who isn't their mom and dad or their wife or husband. To know that somebody is praying for you is a powerful tool. And so you take some time to pray for them. You'll strengthen that person, and you'll strengthen your relationship with that person. So thank God for every person that you love and appreciate in your life. Thank you, God, for placing them in my life. And tell them why you're thankful that they're in your life. You tell them that they're going to be an integral part of your Christmas this year. You encourage them. You lift them up. You give them those intangible gifts that they're looking for, that they may not even know how to ask for. And then you tell them what they mean to you. And you create a prayer list especially for them. And you talk to them about it, and you talk with God. My prayer for all of us is that one of our greatest gifts that God has given us is each other. Is that gift of unity, being together, our family and our friends. So let's enjoy those gifts this year, and let's celebrate a simple Christmas together. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come this point, we'd be remiss if we don't thank you specifically right now for the gift of your love. Because not one of us in this room deserves it. Not one of us in this room has earned it. And not one of us in this room can figure out how to hold on to it on our own. It is purely that intangible gift that says, I created you. I made you in my image. And I love you. Desire the best for you. I desire for your life to overflow with joy in my presence. And so today, Father, we thank you. We thank you for that gift of your love, that gift of your love that went to the cross in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, as he took our sin upon himself, paid the price for our salvation. Father, there's no way to really adequately say thank you, except just to express that love to you. To say thank you, as we sang so many times today. Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. There may be one who's here, there may be several, there may be some online with us this morning who have never experienced that love. Maybe they've heard the story, but they never thought it was for them. Maybe they've heard the story, but they didn't think they needed it. Father, today, help them to be honest with themselves and with you. Help them to honestly see that without you and without your love, we have no hope. We have no joy. We have no peace. We need your love. They need your love right now. May they say yes to Jesus Christ. As they remember that most famous verse of the Bible, for God so loved the world, that's us. That's them right now, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, let them come, confessing their need, confessing their sin, trusting Jesus to be their Savior and their Lord. Father, speak to their hearts right now. Speak to our hearts right now, And let us be submissive to your will. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.